Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is once again my pleasure to introduce our featured speaker, our Deputy Secretary for the Department of Interior, Ms. Lynn Scarlett. All of you know that prior to being selected to serve as the Deputy Secretary, Mrs. Scarlett served as the Assistant Secretary for Policy Management and Budget. As if that job wasn't tough enough, her new job has been a whirlwind of activity for her. Just this year, she helped the Fish and Wildlife Service release condors in California. She traveled to Puerto Rico to launch a partnership for a world-class aviary. That's a place, children, where they keep birds in their natural state. With the National Park Service, she remembered Rachel Carson on her 100th birthday. She's like one of the mothers of the Department of Interior children. She kicked off an innovative biodiesel venture with the Udall Foundation, and she traveled to Veracruz, Mexico, in collaboration with the Mexican government to designate an aquarium as an international coastal ecosystem learning center. But you know what she really did that was fun there, children? She went inside a shark tank. She really did. Talk about a woman who understands the meaning of innovate, communicate, and collaborate with our diverse world. Ladies and gentlemen, our Deputy Secretary, Ms. Lynn Scarlett.
Thanks, Richard. Good morning. I really did get in a shark tank, folks. It was an amazing experience. Climbed into a plastic cage. They put it out over the water where the sharks were, lowered the cage, and then I got to watch the sharks swim around me about a foot away. Phenomenal. I am really pleased to participate in this Diversity Days celebration. As Richard indicated, it's the great privilege in my job to traverse this magnificent nation. I had an opportunity to visit Mother Bethel Church in Philadelphia. That was the site of a church continuously owned by African Americans since colonial times. I've had the chance to go up to Alaska and drink tea with Athabascan natives along the Yukon River, seeing their age-old subsistence traditions as they fished for salmon in that magnificent river. I've had the chance to ride on a mule in the Arizona backcountry with fifth-generation ranchers. I've danced in a Navajo powwow, or at least I tried to dance. I visited a historic fort with Hispanic Americans in New Mexico. And I've seen the joy of disabled veterans fishing at sites made accessible to them so that they too could get outdoors and continue to enjoy this great, grand earth. America, as Richard said, as Glenda also said, is a tapestry of peoples and cultures. Our mission at Interior helps to tell these many and varied stories. Diversity at Interior is part of our workforce vision, but it's also more than that. It's part of our mission. As guardians of one in every 5 acres of the United States, Interior and the lands it manages help to tell the stories of America, all America. Our mission helps us link America to the outdoors, and our public use lands offer economic opportunity, whether it's grazing, in energy pursuits, and in other economic efforts. Diversity, thus, for us is a strategic imperative. Diversity is a strategic imperative so that we might tell the tales of history through the eyes of many, so that we might better understand and properly respect sacred sites and rights of Native Americans, so that we might offer meaningful experiences to everyone who visits our public lands, so that we might also benefit from the talents and skills and potential of all of America. Just look around you today. The folks who sang were Interior employees. These wonderful photographic images are from Interior employees. The poster for this very event, the Diversity Days event, is from a Bureau of Reclamation person who's also obviously an artist. Interior has a diverse and very talented workforce, yet we have untapped opportunities that remain. Recently, I reviewed the composition of our workforce for some mission-critical positions. In sciences and engineering especially, we do not yet attract a very diverse workforce. Our focus, though, as we try to attract that diverse workforce to each and every position in this department, cannot begin as folks leave school in search of work. That focus must embrace this nation's children. Our park rangers, our wildlife biologists, our geologists of the future will spring from the ranks of today's youth, maybe some of those of you sitting out there today. But as author Richard Luov has so poignantly observed, our youth are increasingly disconnected from nature. This disconnection spans people of every background, but it is especially so among our urban youth. Workforce diversity thus must begin with how we pursue our mission. Are we reaching out to urban youth that they might fish at our wildlife refuges or water reservoirs, perhaps sparking in them a desire to become biologists? Are we inspiring a new generation of geologists from all walks of life by connecting them to the Grand Canyon, to Yellowstone or Mammoth Caves, so they become fascinated by these geologic wonders? Do we nurture excellence by helping our children know the accomplishments of Frederick Douglass or Eleanor Roosevelt, or helping them see the architectural wonders of ancestral Pueblo communities of the Southwest? Are we a great place to work so that people aspire to join this workforce of public servants? These diversity days set forth three themes, as Richard noted: innovation, communication, collaboration. I believe these themes are a fitting foundation for a great workplace. We do not want merely to mark time. We want instead to reach for the stars, to innovate so that we maintain management excellence, to innovate so that we show a nation the path to 21st century stewardship in our buildings, on the lands we manage, at the facilities we operate, to innovate so that we use new technologies in new ways to reach all America. We must communicate both among our workforce and with America. Communication is our bridge to accomplishing our mission. I'm always reminded myself that no man or woman is an island. We all do our jobs better when we work together, and that presents the imperative of communication, of conversation, of consultation. Those conversations, in turn, enhance collaboration. Collaboration across boundaries, across professional disciplines, across agencies, and with the public. As this nation's premier conservation agency, collaboration is essential for our success. Nature itself knows no boundaries. Our success thus depends on transcending those boundaries through collaboration. Let me end on a personal note. As I raised my daughter, we read a book together every night. We read together even into her teenage years when she could well read by herself. But I remember when she was little reading a book called People by Peter Spires. I loved that book because it showed in wonderfully colorful illustrations people of the world. It showed different foods, different clothing, different games, diverse occupations, people of many different ethnic and other backgrounds. It showed the diverse tapestry that is the world, so vibrant, so exciting, so creative. It then, on one page, pondered a world without diversity. It showed a city of buildings all alike in color and design, with people dressed all the same. My daughter and I, we loved the pages that celebrated diversity. Interior, with its broad and varied mission that encompasses a nation, has so much potential to reflect the diversity of this nation, and so much potential to create opportunities in so many professions for a diverse America. I thank all of you here and throughout this department. I thank the children with us today for your efforts, both to make this a great nation and to make this department fulfill its wonderful mission.